The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Kveid HaRabonim HaChashuvim and the Rebbetzins, Kveid Rav HaRoshi and the Chief Rebbetzin, my Rebbetzin, all of the very, very distinguished guests, our Mushmochim, who we're paying honor to this evening, and to their very dear families who are here, a very warm welcome and Mazel Tov to Roy and Vani Bernstein, parents of Hillel and the Bobbers and the entire family. Ladies and gentlemen, the topic of the talk this evening is profiles of leadership. We live in a world which is leaderless because we lack good and upright leaders. The world suffers from greedy tyrants, from corruption, abuse of power, leaders who are negligent and incompetent, and anarchy. Even our Western democracy is an antithesis to real leadership, catering to the whims of the majority, no matter what those whims may happen to me to be. Winston Churchill once said, "Democracy is the best of many bad systems." Because of this, our world is like a ship lost in the turbulent seas, being cast from side to side, lost and broken amidst the dark depths. Conversely, our nation, Israel, has been blessed with abundance of leaders and has produced the world's greatest. To mention but a few, beginning with Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, who stood before the mighty Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who split the Red Sea, who led his people to Mount Sinai and brought the Torah down from the heavens to this world. His successor, Joshua, Lima Torah lechol Yisrael v'kov ashes ha'oretz. He taught Torah to the entire nation of Israel and he conquered the land of Israel. Then there was King David HaMelech, and his son Shlema HaMelech, who together united all of Israel into one and built for us our Beis HaMikdash. And then there will be the greatest leader of all time, the Melech HaMashiach, descendant of David, whose wisdom, in the words of the Rambam, will exceed that of Solomon's, and whose prophecy will reach almost to that of Moshe Rabbeinu, who will unite not only all of Israel, but will unite the entire world under one God, the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, the King of all kings. This fact that a nation requires the highest level of leadership humanly possible was well realized by Moshe Rabbeinu. He came to the Almighty and he said, after he heard that he no longer will lead the nation, Yivkod Hashem ish al ha'edo, v'leiti adas Hashem katzon asher le'ein lohem re'eh. Appoint a leader for the nation, in order that the nation of the Almighty shall not be like sheep without a shepherd. He came with a demand. Bar Bizraya, our sages tell us, When you come to ask for a leader over Israel, you have a right to demand it from the Almighty. And he realized a nation without a leader is a flock without a shepherd, being lost to the winds and devoured by the wolves. Further, the sages say, Herele HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol HaPanosim. He wanted to see who all of the leaders will be of Israel. He was not satisfied. He was not assured until he saw them. From here we learn a very important and critical lesson, that over the shoulder of every leader in Israel throughout the generations, Moshe is looking. And the leader is bidden to take instruction and direction from him. What were the leadership qualities of Moshe himself? The Torah is not too explicit. Why was he chosen? When the Almighty first came to him at the burning bush. Our sages say, if you examine the psukim, the scriptures, you will see there are four cases written about Moshe prior to the burning bush. The first two speak about Vayetze. Vayhi bayomim ahem vayigdal Moshe vayetze el achov vayar besivlosam. Moshe grew up in the palace. He became the son of the king and the queen. He was a nobleman, a prince, and he went out to his brethren to see their burdens. Vayar ish mitzri make ish ivri me'echov. And he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. And we know what happened. He killed the Egyptian. Vayetze bayem asheni. The next day he went out again. And there were two Hebrews that were fighting. And again, he intervened. The sage is right. Shtei Yitzias. Twice does the Torah say he went out. Yotzu Osei Tzadik. Bikosvena Kodesh Baruch Hu Zu Achar Zu. And the Almighty wrote it in the Torah one after the other. Because he was the prince. And still he went out of the palace to see the suffering of his brethren. He saw and he wept. If only I would be able to help them, because there is no worse labor than that of building with cement and concrete. And he would set aside his royal scepter, the Holechu Miyashev Lohem Esiv Losehem, and he would go and help them with their burdens. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Ata hinachta asokecho v'halachti lirais b'tzarei shel Yisrael. You have left your dealings to go and see the anguish of Israel. Ani meiniach esohelyonim v'esatachtonim. I will forsake my dealings in all of the worlds to come and speak with you. From here we learn what a leader in Israel is. Vayetze, he must go out. Vayar, he must see. Vayivke, he must feel with the people and be sympathetic to them. Hinachto darkom lesayehem. He must set aside his royal scepter. Vayach es hamitzri. He must defend and champion the rights of his people. Then the Torah tells us another episode. The priest of Midian, Yisro, had seven daughters. Vatovonu, Vatovona, Vatidlena, Vatmaleno, Eserotim. They came to the well to give drink to their flocks. Vayovohu Araim, Vayigorashum. And the shepherds came and chased them away. Vayoka Moshe Vayoshion. And Moshe stood up and defended them. Vayashk Esonam. And he gave drink to all of their sheep. We see from here that he was not only a defender and a champion for his people, but he could not tolerate a distortion of justice anywhere. And he was prepared to do something about it. And in this episode, when they came to their father and told him the story, and they thought it was an Egyptian, Ish Mitzri, they said, an Egyptian saved us. Yisro made a strange comment. Va'ayo, where is he? Loma ze azavten ose ish. Why did you leave him? Kiren loy vayechal lochem. Call him to us, that he may eat with us. And the sages say, he meant, perhaps he will marry one of you. Why was it that Yisro, who was a very powerful individual, is ready to make a shidduch with a person who is totally unknown to him? And the sages say, because Yisro was a very wise man. Today, if something is not publicized in the newspapers, on television, international news, then it did not happen. In order for it to happen, it has to be publicized. Why didn't this person, after doing such a great act, come to me and tell me what he did so he could accept an award or at least the credit? V'ayo, this person is a highly modest, humble person, a tzanua. And the ayo is used in another place in the Torah. Aye Sora Ishtecho. The angel said to Abraham, where is Sora, your wife? Vihiba Ohel. And she was a modest woman. And Yisro said, this person must be from the seed of Sora, the mother of the Hebrews. And then we have a fourth case. It states, Moshe Hayareya Son Yisrael. Moshe was shepherding the sheep of Yisrael, Bayinagasatzon Achar Amidbor, and he brought the sheep deep into the desert. And there he wandered near Har Elokim, the place which was going to become Har Sinai. And the Almighty appeared to him in a burning bush. Why does the Torah must tell us he was shepherding the sheep of Yisro? And why that he took them deep into the desert? What significance does this have? And the sages state, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Naisin Gedula La'odam Ad Shebodkuha B'Dovre Kotten V'Acha Kach Ma'aleil L'Gdula. The Almighty never grants leadership to an individual until he has tested him, even with things that might be small in our eyes. And then he raises him up. Hare L'Choshnei G'dole Olam. There were two great leaders which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested in this manner, Moshe and David HaMelech. Both of them he tested with sheep. Both of them took their sheep deep into the desert in order that they should not graze in pastures which belonged to other people. A leader must first be a leader over himself before he's worthy and capable of being a leader over others. His integrity must be beyond reproach. Then, sheep, the Medrash tells us, a small young lamb ran away from Moshe, and he chased it. And when he caught up with her, she was drinking water by a brook. And Moshe said, Ani lo hayisi yodea shorotz, Ani lo hayisi yodea shorotz hayisa mipnei tzomei. I didn't know you were running away because you were thirsty. Drink. And oyefato, now you're tired. Yekiv al ksefa. He put the goat, the sheep on his shoulder. And he walked back with him. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Yesh lecharachamim lignai tzeneg shel bosim v'dom kach. This is how you take care of goats and sheep. Chayecha atotir etzoni Yisrael. You will become the shepherd of my people. And also it was with King David, when he was a young lad and he would watch the sheep, he would divide the sheep into three groups. He would hold back all of the sheep and let the youngest go and graze, so they would be able to eat the soft grass. Then he would let the older ones, the old ones, go, so they would be able to eat the medium grass. And over, and only after that, he would be Maitzi Esa Bachurim, the strong sheep, and they would eat the tough grass. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishi Edea Lirei Satzon Ish Lefi Kaichai. Someone that knows how to take care of sheep in this manner, let him come and be my shepherd. When the Almighty, when Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a leader, he set down conditions. Not only did he come with a demand, but he said what kind of leader I want. He said to the Almighty, Yivkaid Hashem Elakei Haruchais Lechol Bosor. You, the Almighty, who is the God of the spirits of all flesh. What did he say that for? What does that have to do with it? Sages say as follows. Kishem shein patsufin daimen zelazer. In the entire world, you'll never find two people that look exactly alike. Kachein daitishovin zelazer. So will you never find two people who have the same types of mentalities or temperaments. Kol echod ve'echod yesh le'idea bifnei atzmai. Every one is an individual. Manei alehem odom she'asovel lechol echod ve'echod lefi daitai. I demand that you choose a leader over Yisrael that will be able to walk with every individual, deal with every individual, cater to all of the needs. From here we see that a manig, a leader, must be a leader for all of the people, and not just for some, or not just for a segment or a faction. Actually, I was once in a community where there was a particular segment in that community, and they were demanding from the Rav of the city that he make certain accommodations for them, and this would have been good for them, but not for the rest of the kehillah, which were the huge majority. And the Rav refused to do so. And they went and they complained, and they came to my Rebbe, that tells the Rosh Yeshiva, and they complained that the Rav will not cater to their needs, And they feel he should. They were demanding higher levels. And the Rav Gifter answered, if I state it as a rov, darf sein a rov for the ganze Stadt. A manig zorch li is manig lechola am. You don't understand that a leader has to be a leader for all of the people. He has to see what is good for the klal. How much more so in our generation, when perhaps 90% of Jews in the world are divorced and alienated from all things that are Jewish. And then Moshe said, Ish alo edo, a man. And so did King David. Before he was dying, before he died, by Yikarvu Yemei David Lamus, he told his son Solomon, Vayetzave Shlema B'nei Lemor, I am leaving this world, V'chozakto V'hayiso Le'ish. Be strong, be a man. A man means a man and not a lamb. And a man and not an angel. Leader has to be of enormous strength, fearless, for he fears no man, and he is above the nation. But on the other hand, not an angel. He cannot be distanced from the nation too much, be aloof. The Maral Miprag explains that when Klal Yisrael marched in the desert, the Oren HaKodesh would lead them 3 days before. Not less than 3 days, because the Oren and the Sefer Torah has to be in the front. But not more than 3 days, lest it becomes distanced and aloof. This strong leadership, we find that the Almighty was very demanding of. Because Moshe told Yehoshua, perhaps to console him, he said, you have an enormous undertaking. The Shivim Zakenim, the 70 elders, will help you. Consult with them. Let there be consensus, and they will help you shoulder the heavy burden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, disagreed. The Almighty said, Omar li Yeshua ki atovi es b'nei Yisrael. You will bring the nation into Israel. HaKol toli boch. It will be dependent on you. Daber echor ledor velei shnei daborim ledor. A generation needs one leader and not many leaders. From here we see what leadership is. And you cannot run a nation through committees. And you cannot display leadership through committees. From here we see the awesome responsibility of leadership. HaKol Tol Liboch, it is dependent on you and you alone, and of a single united voice in the front. And then finally Moshe asked for something else. He said, Asher Yetze Lifneihem, that will go, someone who will go out in front of them. Like derech malchei ha'umais, not like the kings of the Gentile nations, sheyeshvin bebateihem, that they sit in their palaces, umeshalchin es chayloseihem lamilchama, and they send the young sons out to war. Ela kamo shasisi ani, Moshe demanded choose a leader like I was, that when it came to war with Sihon and Og, the mighty kings, I was in the front. I led the troops. And like Yehoshua, would do later on when it came to conquering Eretz Yisrael, and so did King David. Ki hu yotze uva lifnehem. An interesting note is during the 1967 war in Israel, the commentators reported that there was a much higher percentage of casualties amongst the high-ranking officers than usual. And what they did not understand is because this is entrenched. We do not send our troops out to war and the commanders remain in headquarters, but they go out in front. Asher yetze lifnehem. These are a number of qualities when we speak about profile of true leadership, of Torah leadership, of Jewish leadership. This evening, we're taking the opportunity at our annual Rosh Chodesh dinner to pay honor to our beloved and esteemed Chief Rabbi and Rebbetzin, Cyril and Ann Harris, who are at the eve of their retirement after 17 years of sterling service to our South African Jewish community. So many of the outstanding attributes mentioned so far do our Chief Rabbi and Rebbetzin encompass. They have guarded their lofty position with the utmost integrity, responsibility, and dignity. They have been the antithesis of aloofness, with an almost inhuman demonstration of vayetze alaom vayar besivlosam, to go out and see. Fact is, I remember the first time I met the Chief Rabbi after he assumed the position. He said, "This is the telephone number of my home. Don't forget to use it." These were his opening words. And then he would come to me and say, "I want to help you. Can I help you raise funds? Let me know." I didn't have to ask him. "Let me know what I can do for you." They have walked, driven, flown all over Southern Africa, bringing comfort, inspiration, and hope to all segments of our Jewish community. They have truly been a Rav and a Rebbetzin for the entire Jewish community, being a uniting force in spirit for South African Jewry. Being Anshe Shalom, they are people of peace, yet they still never balked or flinched at a vital or necessary confrontation. After all, the Chief Rabbi comes from Scotland and the Rebbetzin comes from Ireland. And when it came to a battle, they were in the forefront, leading the battle. And they have become champions of social justice and defenders of the defenseless amongst the greater South African community. But I'd like to add another point. And I'd like to deviate for a minute to speak about another leader. And this was perhaps the greatest leader Israel was ever blessed with since biblical times, after the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim. It was during the Roman occupation, four generations after the destruction of the temple, the Churban Habayis, there rose up a descendant from the house of David who was to become the Prince of Israel. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, Rabbi Judah the Prince. He was so beloved to all of the Jews that in the entire Talmud, he is very seldom mentioned by name, but merely as Rebbe or Rabbeinu HaKodosh, our Holy Master. so great and beloved. He was amongst the non-Jews that the powerful Roman Caesar Antoninus became his personal friend and confidant and would often pay visit to Rebbe in his private home. What was his great achievement? A few words to that effect. I quote the Rambam. Rabbeinu HaKodesh formulated, consolidated, organized, edited, and published the entire order of the Mishnah. From the time of Moses, our master, that great body of Torah known as the Oral Law was never publicly published. He collected all of the discussions, the debates, the laws, the insights, explanations which were heard from Moshe Rabbeinu and subsequently taught by the courts of law of each generation. He collected all of this from the entire Torah, scrutinized, organized, published it, thereby causing the oral law not to be forgotten. He did this because he saw the diminishing of the disciples, the growing of Israel's affliction and exile to all corners of the world, and the spreading of the powerful Roman Empire. Together with his Bezdin, they spent their entire lives on this gigantic undertaking, the formulation and the public teaching of the order of the Mishnah, together with thousands and tens of thousands of disciples. End of quote. Subsequently, the order of the Mishnah was to become the cornerstone of the entire Talmud. Rabbeinu HaKadosh succeeded in causing Torah not to be forgotten from Israel and in uniting all of Israel into one people. For in almost 2,000 years of exile and dispersion, the Mishnah has never been challenged from being the single sole supreme authority for all of Jewish law and tradition of the entire oral law. This was his achievement. But he had a shitas hachaim. He had a principle, a guiding principle, which served him as his so-called flagship, which he never wavered from. And what was this? He taught as follows. Rabbi Eimer, Ezeo derech yishoro sheyiva leiha adam. What is the proper path? And what is the upright path in which a person should choose in life? Kol shehi teferes la'eseha, a path which is beautiful to him, v'tiferes la'imin ha'odom, and which is beautiful and pleasant to all of those who he comes in contact with. A man must choose a path to walk in through his life. Of course, it must be yoshar, it must be upright. Of course, it must be totally in accordance to the Torah. But this still does not suffice. What is then lacking? What can be more added to this if the path is right and if it's in accordance to Torah? Rebbe said it must be beautiful and honorable in the eyes of the individual, and it must be beautiful, honorable, and pleasant in the eyes of all who come into contact with him, Jew and non-Jew alike. Like his forebearer, the great Rebbe Yechon ben Zakkai, le'olam le'higdim le'odam shalom afilo akam shebeshuk. He was the first to greet all men, even the Gentile, in the marketplace. The Maral Miprag elaborates and emphasizes, even though one's ways are honorable, and they are upright, and they are beautiful intrinsically, in truth, we are still forbidden to walk in these ways if they do not emanate honor and beauty to all of those who surround us. And if one does walk in such ways, and the individual is a Talmud Chacham, this is a considered a Chilul Hashem, a desecration to the honor of heaven, the Maral writes. For the Jew represents the Almighty and his Torah through all of his actions, and he must conduct himself in a way that he will bring honor to heaven, honor and the beauty of the Almighty and his Torah to all of the people. Drocheho darchei Noam v'chol nesivoseho shalom. Her ways are ways of beauty and pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. Our chief rabbi-elect, Rabbi Warren Goldstein, these past months has been exploring the many circles the chief rabbi and Rebbetzin have worked in all over the country. And he has told me that wherever he goes amongst Jew and non-Jew alike, their name is gold. They have created a most wonderful name for the Jew, for the Almighty, and for his Torah. They have certainly excelled in the great instructions of Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, Rabbi Judah the Prince, Ezehu Derech, Sheivo Leho Odom. What is the path that a person should choose? A Derech Yishora, an upright path, called She Teferes La'eseha, V'Teferes Le'mino Odom. One that is beautiful to he himself and emanates beauty to all that they come into contact with. We wish the Chief Rabbi and the Rebbetzin a very, very wonderful and productive retirement, and we thank them both for the most wonderful service to the Jewish community. May I say now a word or two referring not to the chief rabbi in Rebbetzin, but to some of our future chief rabbis. Rabbi Aaron Goldfein and Rabbi Hillel Bernstein, both of them are very, very deserving to the title of Smichel Rabbonus. In general, I must say that the title Smicho that the Yeshiva Gdol of Johannesburg gives is not something that is easy to attain. The fact is, we go out of our way to make it very, very difficult. Not because we want to be difficult, but because we want the Talmidim that go out of the yeshiva should be Talmidei Chachomim, people who are befitting to carry the title and to become future leaders for Klal Yisrael in whatever particular avenue they choose. The final area of study before attaining smicha is called the study of Chulin and Yoredeya. This is extremely difficult. It can take anywhere from a year and a half, a year and a quarter, until many, many years, depending on what level you want to study it, because Torah is infinite, breadth and width, and how much time the individual wants to allocate to it. Before this final study, he must learn full-time in the yeshiva, a period of a minimum of 6 years. Many mesechtas in Shas, and also a great deal of other studies, of other limudim of Torah. On Hillel, I can say that he is perhaps the only one, or at least for many, many years, that when it came to this study of Chulin Yoredeya, he remained in my shiur during the entire time, continuing with the study of other mesechtas, Mesechta Kedushin and Mesechta Ksubas, very, very difficult mesechtas on their own. Usually, they'll drop out in order to be able to give more of their time and energies to the Chulin Yoredeya. And he excelled in all areas, in both of these limudim. And this only came because of enormous work, enormous labor, amelus betorah, enormous hasmoda. And he's an individual who will make a great leader. He's always there to put his shoulder to the wheel, to the heaviest part of the wheel. And he has the beautiful qualities of Hillel HaZaken, Ahev Shalom and Radev Shalom. To Rabbi Aaron, our son. Aaron is not a Kohen, but nevertheless, his name is Aaron. And he has a quality of the Kohanim. In Malachi, it states, Torah's emes hoyisa befiho. The Torah of truth were on their lips. Sifsei kohen yishmeru das. The Torah yevakesh mipihu. The lips of the kohen should guard, safeguard the Torah, that it always remains the ultimate truth. Aaron has a nature where he wants to guard very, very carefully and cautiously the exact truth of the Torah, of its halachas, of its depths, whether we're speaking about a dover gadol or dover katan, something very important or something that doesn't look so important, a mitzvah kala kechamura, even what is a slight minhag, a slight custom or a tradition in the yeshiva. Aaron is always there to safeguard it. He wants legitimate Torah Judaism. And because of this, Rabbi Goldstein, who has been the menahel, the supervisor of those who study Chulin Yoredeya for the past 8 years in the yeshiva, said to me that he has never had anyone that studied and came to such depth and clarity and thoroughness in Chulin Yoredeya before. Ad kedei kach, to the point where Aaron was fluent in many, many facets of the Biur HaGro, the commentary of the Vilna Gaon on Yoredeya, which is something that one can only understand if he has gone through with a fine tooth comb all of the Sugyas HaShas, all of the enormous background behind the halachas in Yoredeya. I want to wish both of our new musmachim, mazel u'brocha. May this not be a culmination, but only the beginning. May you carry on, may chayel el choyel, to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael in a way that will be a tiferes, a beauty for yourselves, a beauty for your wonderful families, and a beauty for all of Israel. Mazel tov to you and to the Bernstein families, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.